Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Know a lot about golf.
Well, we're waiting.
It is time again for us, we being those weekend golf guys. I am John Ashton. He is Jeff Smith. I'm in studio. He's out enjoying the fall weather at Eagle Springs Golf Course in Golf Club, in Walcott, Colorado, for a while yet.
Tell you what, it's fall. These leaves are starting to change colors out here, man. I'm telling you, when the aspens start to turn gold, it is magic out here.
Now, do the leaves fall completely before the first snow flies?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but I do know this. They're at like the first third of being unbelievably on fire beautiful. Cool. And out here it's way different. Look, I've been up in the Northeast, up in New England, and all the different colors, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
Yeah,
right. I've been in the Midwest and all the different colors of different trees, and it's gorgeous. There's no doubt. But there is nothing that holds a candle when you see entire swaths of mountains turn gold.
Yeah. That's true.
With the white trunks of the aspens, it is something to behold. Last year, as I left Colorado at the end of September, in the midst of all of its glory, to go back to Indiana, I was angry.
Yeah.
I don't get angry at a lot of things. And I was angry because I had to leave.
Yeah.
This year, sure, it'll be no different.
That's right. In Indiana in the fall, what happens is the corn stalks turn brown. That's the only foliage color you get.
Well, you know, Southern Indiana has a lot of beauty, a lot, because the hills are there and the trees turn colors, and there's a whole lot of different varieties of trees, and it really is beautiful. But it's been pretty dry in Indiana.
Yeah.
And the colors aren't as good this year. So,
yeah, but you still have a Hoosier National Forest to
We do have a Hoosier National Forest.
Yes, indeed.
And we still don't know what a Hoosier is, but by God, we named Hoosier National Forest after it.
That's it. But with the changing of the leaves, the changing of the temperatures, the changing of the seasons, comes a changing in your approach to the game.
Oh, yeah.
Because fall golf is different than summertime.
Look, the grass is drier, right? Mm-hmm. Hasn't rained as much. The first thing I can tell you is the bounces are bigger, right? Because the ground's not soggy.
Right.
But the grass is drier. So you don't get those flyer lies. They get a lack of moisture of the blades of grass between the face of the club and the ball.
Yeah. Right?
And so you don't get the big jumpers. You don't get the inconsistency. But there's some downside, folks. Greens get harder, too. They get dried out.
Which means it's harder to hold?
Hard to hold them.
Yep.
Easy to putt them, boy. Easy to putt on them, though. They get harder. Greens get cut. And they're smooth, baby. They're just smooth. Yeah. Because they're harder, there's fewer pitch marks.
Okay.
And the grass doesn't have all that moisture in the blade of grass itself. So they're faster because there's less friction on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, fall golf, outside of the leaves falling on the ground, you can't find your ball anymore.
Yes.
Outside of that stuff.
You may not want to use orange balls during fall golf.
To say, hey, this is ball hawker's paradise right now, baby.
The optic
yellow. Get out to the golf course, start heading to the sides of the holes, and you're going to find some balls.
Yes, indeed.
We're going to find some. Hey, get all those Pro Vs while you can, baby.
You know what? I always had an idea that forward thinking golf courses should include compact leaf blowers on the carts.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I agree. You know, let the guy in this area, boys, we'll blow it around.
Yeah, you not only have them, you know, in the rough along the tree lines and stuff like that, but you got them all over the greens on some courses where there are trees close to the greens. And, you know, you sit there and you've got your towel and you're just, you know, swinging the towel back and forth trying to clear a path.
I'm with you.
By the time you get back to your ball, the leaves have all been blown back between you and the hole again.
Right.
It's no fun. But, you know, look, that wouldn't be bad.
Right. They could do that. Just hand them out in the pro shop. Just take the guy's driver's license, swap him out for the little battery operated leaf blower that you got.
Yeah.
It's a nice investment that I guarantee you people would love you for it.
Yes, indeed.
They would.
It would be an easy way to find your balls. It would be an easier way to keep the path clear between your ball and the hole when you get to the green. Because there is nothing more frustrating than trying to hit a good putt rolling over impediments like leaves, and what's even worse is those dry brown pine needles.
Yeah, right.
Hate those.
Spoken like a true Southern gentleman, right? Pine needles, pine straw, baby. They're all over the place.
It's everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. What about temperature? Now the temperatures cool down. We address this every year. But how drastic a change does it take to affect the flight of the golf ball temperature-wise?
Oh, a fair amount. I mean, look, the air's dry. The ball's, you know, when the air's dry, there's not as many water molecules in the air. So there's less friction, right? It travels easier in the air. And that somewhat offsets the temperature. You know, it's... You think about it, and once you get into wintertime golf and it's constantly cold, you know, you think about it, you're still storing your bag right now in the trunk of the car, and it's not that cold in the trunk of the car, and it heats up all right, you know.
Yeah.
And the golf balls aren't really as cold as what you might be shivering, right? You're going to put a couple in your pocket.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not going to be thinking that the golf ball temperature is going to be that big a deal, and the air temperature is not going to be that big a deal. Unless it's early in the morning, and then all of a sudden it's a bigger deal. But John, I know you. You ain't getting up in the morning.
Especially not when it's 42 degrees, no.
Look, you're a 1 o'clock in the afternoon tea time golfer right now.
Yes, I am.
So, you know, you got the warmer part of the day. It's still dry.
Yeah.
You're out there. You don't have to think about it too much.
Yeah. I mean, the whole idea is that, like, when it's warm, we all know we've taken high school science. We know that when things are warm, they expand. Yeah. And the thing that makes a golf ball fly is the compression when the club strikes it.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't expand as much, then you can't compress it as much. Therefore, it won't fly as far.
Yeah, but we're talking a very small amount right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right now. Yeah.
Okay.
I was jumping ahead to, like, you know, January.
February.
Yeah.
Right. Like, come on. Look, here's the other part about January and February. Everybody's moving south, playing south. They're going warm. They're sick of the weather anyway. You're not playing in Louisville in January unless all of a sudden you get that freaky 70 day and then you're going to drop everything.
That's right.
But your plans are traveling. You're going to Florida. You're going to Texas. You're going to Southern California. You're going to Arizona. You're going places that, you know, you're not going to sit there and freeze yourself. You know that.
I may go to South Carolina, but I don't think I'm going as far as Florida.
South Carolina's pretty fun, though, let me tell you.
Yeah, it is. It is. The Redneck Riviera, though, in Florida, you know, that is Mecca for, I think, everybody here in Louisville. That's where they go. But they usually go in the summertime, which, you know, this guy who was brought up in New England is like, why do you go south in the summer? No, that's a wintertime destination, people. You know,
so where are you talking about in Florida?
Oh, you know, Destin, Fort Walton,
the Panhandle.
Panhandle, yeah. The Redneck Riviera. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the way over to the place just escaped, where the big naval station is.
Oh, I don't know.
It starts with P, just before you get to Alabama. Pensacola, just before you get to Alabama,
Yeah. And then there's, you know, all the way over there. It's not all the way over there. You got New Orleans. You got Biloxi, you know.
Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail in Alabama is great.
Sure is. Man, I tell you what, you ought to go. And then you ought to do a show from each one of them.
We ought to. We ought to work that out, man. Because it's not far.
I'm going to Florida, dude. I'm going to Florida.
Yeah.
I'm going south. Dude, by the time I get there, I'm going to go from perfect weather in Colorado to a little bit cooler weather in Colorado where it's perfect out here and beautiful. And I'm just going to roll down South Florida right when it starts getting perfect down there.
Yeah.
And you're going to be mad at me because I got a suntan year round. You get mad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're not that far from the sun here in Kentucky. I can get a tan.
No, but
in the
it hides in Kentucky. It hides in southern Indiana and Kentucky. It hides.
Yeah, from like November to February, you got just overcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. No snow, but just some rain and hard to find and some cooler temperatures.
General yuck.
And it's fun, though. I mean, fall is a good time of year. But like you say, we here in Kentucky, we're AccuWeather fans. Every Monday, what we do is actually Sunday afternoons, while football games are on, we sit down and we check out the extended forecast for the coming week to plan out which days we're going to play golf. And usually if it's in the fall, if it's over 60, we're there. In the wintertime, if it's over 45, we're there. You know?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But fall golf is something different. There are some differences to how you play. Like Jeff mentioned, it's the ground's harder. The air is less humid, so the friction on the ground and in the air is less. The greens are harder. They're going to roll faster. So there are some adjustments you need to make to your game to play in the fall. And we're going to talk about those when we come right back, because we have been here long enough right now. We are those Weekend Golf Guys. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are back, those Weekend Golf Guys. This is the 1st of October. 30 days from now will be Halloween. And it just seems that as soon as Halloween hits, I've been to Lowe's, I've been to Walmart, I've been to Home Depot. Yeah. They already have their Christmas trees up. Okay.
Do they really?
Yes, they
Come
do.
On.
But once you get to Halloween, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump to New Year's Day. So
yeah, seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It just starts going on by with the holidays and all the merry, merry, ho, ho, ho's and all that kind of good stuff. But let's take it from tee to green, differences in how you approach the game in the fall.
Yeah, let's first start with trying to remember, folks, land the ball on the front of the greens because the greens are harder, right? So if they're drying out, they're not getting watered. Matter of fact, this is the time of year where all the golf courses up north, they start blowing out the lines on their sprinkler systems and shutting them down for the year, making sure the pipes don't freeze and all that stuff at night, you know, so the greens are going to get a little firmer. So first thing you do, start hitting some high shots and landing them on the front of the greens, because they're going to get some bounces and they're going to wind up not close to the hole. So even if your pin's on the back, folks, land that bad boy on the front. Don't start firing the pins thinking you're going to hold it, because you're in for a chipping contest at that point.
Yeah, and there's nothing more frustrating than watching your ball sail across a green.
And you think, man, I caught that pretty fresh. You know, what happened here? You know, I hit a good, well-struck shot. It flew pretty high. came down on a trajectory that I'm used to seeing, and they're used to holding the greens. Guess what? They're not going to hold so much now.
It just kept going and going and going.
Yep.
And
first thing.
And no matter, and I don't care what you say about talking to the ball, it doesn't work in the fall.
No.
When you ask it to stop, it doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop anywhere. When's the last time your ball actually behaved?
No.
Listen to you when you were pleading with it. Come on. We all know golf balls are deaf and mute.
Yeah.
And vindictive and spiteful.
They are vindictive and spiteful. Exactly. My wife has been talking to them, I think. But it's so frustrating to watch that happen, especially if you hit it like right at the pin. You know, you've got one of these great shots. It's high, it's straight, it's right where you aimed it. And you watch it hit and hit and roll and roll and roll past the hole and just keep on rolling and going. And, you know.
And then you wind up with a downhill putt of 30 feet and you're like, man.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you got a 10-foot putt up the hill. And next thing you know, you got a 5-foot putt from the, because the other one lipped out and it's on the side.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're picking it up, swearing. So just keep that in mind.
Resin, Richard.
Yeah,
exactly.
Those kind of things.
Yeah. Is there anything, I mean, would you suggest a change of equipment ball-wise? Harder balls, softer balls?
Look. There's people out there that might hear this. And if you're not already playing a ball that flies high and spins enough to hold the greens all the time anyway.
Yeah.
What makes you think somebody's going to pay right now for that to happen during ball losing season and the leaf season?
Well, that's true.
They're looking at it economically, man.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm going out there and buying those Pro BX's.
That's right.
Because they'll spin a little bit more because the greens are dry.
I'm going to go get
those
30.
They're not playing that golf ball. They're not doing it now.
I'm going to go get those 36 packs of Slazengers just in case.
Because it's leaf season. They're like, heck with this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Go give me the big box store, and I'm going to go white and round and just see what happens.
Yeah. Is there a color that is best to play for leaves? I mean, is the white great? Because I know the
white
optic yellow
is like about the only thing, right? Because now the orange ball and the yellow ball, lose them.
They just blend right in.
Yeah.
I mean, you can look right at one of those and not see it for the leaves.
Yeah. You know, I think whitey's the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just do.
And I can't understand, just as an aside, I mean, there are some companies now that are offering like blue, maroon. I've even seen some black golf balls.
Yeah. I'm like, come on, folks. What are we doing here?
Yeah, and you can see them great in the sky.
The one that kills me is the green one, not the neon green one, just the regular green one. I'm like, okay. So
the grass-colored green one.
Yes. You look at that, and you're like, man, the only things finding those things are the mowers. Right? Come on.
Yeah, now those dark-colored ones, man, you can see them. They're great contrast in the sky. When you're playing it, you know, you got white clouds and you've got blue sky and you play, you know, and you can watch it.
Sure.
But the minute it hits the ground, I lose it.
Yeah.
I have no idea where it goes.
Yeah.
So it kind of defeats the purpose, I think.
I can imagine somebody sitting around in golf ball company X's, you know, Salesforce, and they come up with this great idea about all these terrible colors for golf balls. They're forgetting about the fact that golfers actually have to, like, not use common sense to buy them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm going to lose this ball the second I strike it.
Yeah.
Maybe what the marketing people are hoping for, right?
Well,
sell a lot more golf balls if we make them easier to lose.
That's right. Yeah. Buy the white ones next time. That's what it says. Buy the white ones next time. Yeah.
Yeah. You just wasted $34.99. Because you thought they were pretty.
Yeah. But, I mean, the good news is, yes, you do have to be more careful on the greens, but you're going to get more distance on the fairway for the same reason. Well,
that's what I'm getting at is it's drier.
Yeah.
Right? So it's bounce and roll season.
Yeah.
Right? So all of a sudden, you know, here's all the golf instructors out there now going, yep, love teaching hitting drivers in the fall. We just go to the golf course. Go downwind, downrange, boom. Look at that sucker roll out. John, you caught that thing. You've never hit a ball. Look, what I'm telling you right now, you've not done this all year, and all of a sudden you finally pick it up on it, and you nailed one 280.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, sure yeah. did. That's great yeah. info.
180 in the air, 100 on the ground.
On the ground. Yeah. Exactly right. It's bounce and roll season, baby.
Yeah. Well, it's good for those of us who are, you know, have a penchant for worm burners. Because even your even your bad shots now are going to go further. So,
yeah, there's some trouble. Right? There's good and bad with all this, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's adjustments to make. But, you know, what about grips and stuff? Now, I don't mean physical, the grip on the club. I mean your grip, how you hold it with your hands. Because your hand is going to, how should I put this? If it gets cold, it is less likely to feel the feel you normally feel in the summertime.
Right. Wear okay. gloves.
Well, I'm glad we got that fixed.
Yeah, right. Look, you're right. It'll feel different.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're cold.
Yeah.
Right? Wear a glove. Two gloves. Right? Keep your hands warmer.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't change how you hold the club.
No. That's what I was talking about. The feel. It feels different. Your hand, if you don't have warmer hands, if you don't have two gloves, the ungloved hand is going to feel much different in the fall than it did in the summertime.
Hand warmers, baby. Start, get them out, cut that packet open, shake those bad boys up, roll them around your fingers, put them in your pockets, and keep those hands warm, folks. Yep.
Do that.
Which goes to the other part, right? Dress in layers and wear a hat. Mm-hmm. Let's trap every ounce of heat we can trap.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Starting to get a little fall season now, so it isn't just about the trees anymore, and it's not just about anything else. Let's now talk about you. Keep you warm, right? Keep those feet warm. Keep the back of the neck warm. Keep that spine warm. Keep that hat on your head.
Yeah.
Keep those hands warm.
There are two places, just now take it from me, this is a kid who grew up in northern Maine, okay? Two places you lose heat, and if you can keep these two places of your body warm, the rest of your body is going to follow suit, and those are your feet and your head.
Yeah.
So, I mean, don't brag about it, but if you can go down to, Rural King or one of those places that caters to hunters, buy yourself a pair of electric socks if you need to. There's no shame in that.
No, look, warm feet are warm feet.
Yeah.
Happy about that.
Yeah. And I swear by even those thinly knit Titleist ear warmers, little headbands.
Yeah. Right.
Those are marvelous, man. Although I don't know how you can work keeping a hat on, because they just make it difficult to keep a hat tight enough around your head, man. But
yeah. Hey.
That's a problem. That's, you know, that's a first world problem. What can I say, man? It's, you know, no big deal there. But, you know, you dress warmly, more warmly as the season progresses, more layers, because you're probably going to start, depending on what time of day you start, you're going to be stripping off layers as you go, because the sun still tends to get a little bit warm when it rises high in the sky, even during the fall time. We've got more. We're coming back. So I hope you do, too. We are those Weekend Golf Guys. Don't you move. Well, of course, we have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/golfguys. Go there and follow us. Like us, please. All right, we are back, those Weekend Golf Guys. I am John Ashton, and we're talking about playing golf in the fall, because it is the 1st of October already. And if this comes as a shock to you, I apologize. Somebody should have been keeping track. But I was reading, I think it was Lynx, the online magazine, lynx.com.
Yeah.
And they were talking about rules that they thought should be changed. And they had 10 of them. This is an annual thing that most golfers get into about, you know, all the stupid rules we had to live by. But they agree their number one rule, their number one pet peeve is yours. about how you can fix divots on the green, but not in the fairway.
That's right. Come on, man. It's the same concept.
Yeah.
Different chunk of ground, right? Don't make me play from one of those.
Yeah, but you're more apt to encounter divots in the fairway than you are on the green.
That, look, doesn't even matter. Be consistent, folks.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, look. If one spot on the golf course, you're allowed for a to fix everything so it's pristine and perfect, right? Instead of playing it as it lies and not being able to influence your line of play, well, well let me do that out there in the fairway too, folks.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's like you once said, if I hit from the tee and I hit a shot that goes right into the rough, I would probably have a much better lie and a better chance of hitting the green on my second shot than would you if you hit one straight down the middle, but wound up in someone else's divot.
Yeah. And you're penalizing me.
Yeah.
For being more accurate.
Yeah.
Right.
Which those I mean, serve your right to suffer.
Ourselves, right. Those of us who spend time, effort, and energy practicing and training ourselves to hit it well, hit it straight, and hit it in what's supposed to be the easiest place to play from.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make it harder to play from it because of some obscure rule that's made up by somebody who was clearly drunk at the time. And he thought of that rule. Everybody else, they're thinking it's, well, let's just uphold this, play it as it lies. Okay. But nobody does.
No.
There's 2,500 different ways you can not play it as it lies right in a stinking rule book.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, we get to lift, clean, and place it here. We get to touch it here. We get to check this. We get to move that. We're like, come on. You're either gonna die on this hill or you're not.
Right.
USGA. Like, come on. But you decided to bring this up just to get me stirred up, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. As I was reading it, I went, I wonder if Jeff has seen this, man. I gotta mention this to him.
You did this. You just tried to get a rise out of me.
Yeah. Well, I just know how
because it works.
I know it does. It works every time. I know how badly you feel about how this rule works. And again, like you mentioned, it's one that it's hard to come up with an excuse to get around it because there are no immovable impediments usually where there's a divot in the middle of the fairway. You know, you aren't in any penalty area where you can move it back a club length as long as you know, you're no closer to the hole, you know, stuff like that. No free drop areas. I mean, you should be able to just move it, get it out of the divot. Don't even have to drop it. Just move it over an inch or two.
It's pretty serious, right? Closely mown areas through the rough. If the ball's embedded in the ground, there's an embedded ball rule. And if it's closely mown areas through the rough and the damn thing's plugged, you get to pick it out of there.
Yeah.
So you don't have to hit it out of the hole that it's in. Whether the hole was made by the ball or made by the club, they differentiate that.
Yeah.
Come on, folks.
That's a difference without. Yeah. I mean, what is harder? Is it harder to hit the ball accurately out of a divot or out of a repaired divot, one that they've just thrown sand in? Punched down a little bit or patted down or whatever.
I think it's harder out of the sanded divot.
Okay.
Because much of the time it's like hitting out of a fairway bunker sometimes where the ball sinks down into a little bit, but then there's that deep gouge.
Yeah.
You know, the guy who's an excavator is playing out in front of you.
Yeah.
And you hit a great tee shot, you put it in his ankle breaker, you know, of a divot. Yeah. That's not easy either.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult when it's in a divot. It's difficult to get to club at the bottom of the ball.
It really is.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the ball go up. So, you know, you just got penalized by the rule book by being good enough to hit it in the fairway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. The ball's in the rough. Half the time it's sitting halfway up to three-fourths of the way up anyway.
Yeah.
It's like you got it like on this grass tee. So it's like beneficial to just bomb and gouge. And if it goes the fairway, all right. And if it goes the rough, all right.
Yeah.
Come on.
Now, fairway grass, well, let's say rough grass. In the fall, it tends to get stiffer, less water.
Yeah, it's dry.
So it does
makes it easier.
Keep the ball up more. Yeah.
Right. Ball doesn't sink to the ground. It's not all this big snarly nut stuff back there.
Yeah, you know, it's like being on a tee.
The way your butt's, right.
Yeah.
It's like being on a tee.
So I guess one of the techniques to play successful fall golf is aim for the rough.
Well, that's where all the trees are, and all the leaves hopefully are there too. So, yes. You know, we got penalties going on all over the place.
Actually, don't aim for the rough because that'll defeat the purpose.
So here's that other thing. That's why everybody plays, here's this sort of golf manifesto that's being played more than the USGA rule book, right?
Right.
USGA rule book, you don't see some accommodation for the fact that leaves are everywhere in the fall. You don't get to just, act like, oh, we all say it's the leaf rule. There isn't one in the book.
Yeah.
But there is one in the Sort of Golf Manifesto.
Yeah, there is.
Throw one down, move on.
Now, if in the USGA book, if you're in bed, if your ball comes to rest within a bed of leaves, can you move the leaves out of the way as long as you don't move the ball?
Those are all loose impediments.
Okay.
They're all loose impediments, right? You just move them out of the way.
Okay.
But we're talking about you can't find the stinking thing. Oh, yeah, by the way. And now the new rules don't even give you 5 minutes anymore.
Yeah, they give you three.
Yeah. So here you are. Who does this rule help anyway? Right? If you were, John, I'm sorry to go crazy on this USGA thing, but you did this to me. Okay, so let's just say, John, you decided for the first day in a long time that you're going to play by every single USGA rule there is. Are you really going to go back to the tee after 3 minutes of losing that Pro V? Or are you going to sit there and look for that sucker because it cost you $4?
Yeah, right? Exactly. And when there's another group back on the tee, you're not going back there and say, excuse me, gentlemen, but I've got to hit the shot again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
they're going to look at you and go, no, we got time crunch.
Yeah.
I don't care about you in your 3 minutes and your drive back to the tee and lose another golf ball.
Yeah.
And go do that process again.
Drop one and move on, sucker. Uh-huh. So I heard a guy ask a question. He said, if you and your buddy are out playing golf and he hits the ball into the rough, into the woods, and he's sitting there and he's looking for it and you're helping him look for it, and it gets to be the 3 minutes and it's up, and he says, listen, you go out there and you hit your shot and I'll just look a little bit more and then I'll hit mine as soon as you're done. So you go out to your ball and you hit it. And he's finally, as you're out there at your ball lining up your shot, you hear him say, found it.
Yeah.
And then he hits this great shot out of the rough onto the green. The question is, do you tell him that your ball has been in his pocket, that his ball's been in your pocket all this time or not?
I think you do.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you call him out on that. You say, look, dude, I knew you were going to do that. So I picked up your golf ball, put it in my pocket. I wanted to see how fast it would take you.
Right.
And it took you about 30 seconds. Here's your ball back. Guess what?
Let's move on.
Right.
Yeah. I heard a true story. A friend of mine was playing with a guy who hit a shot into the green and got up to the green and couldn't find the ball and looked all over the apron and everything. And finally, he just dropped one out of his pocket down his leg, and goes, oh, here it is right here. And then everybody went to pull the pin out and his ball was actually in the cup.
Oops.
Yeah. Yeah. You better check.
You lose.
Before you cheat like that, you should check the cup at all times. If you can't find the ball, check the cup.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a beauty right there.
Yeah, however out of character it might be for you. But again, the good news is that fall golf, it's crisper. The grass is crisper. The ground is crisper. Things are going to be moving further. They bounce more. Plus, a lot of people bake during this time of year, so it smells better.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a golf course with a lot of houses surrounding it. You get the baking sense. It's really cool. So
like it.
have fun out there in the fall. Just dress right, play right, and have a good time. We got more. We're coming back. You do too. We are those Weekend Golf Guys.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We've got a fun group for you to hang out with on Facebook. It's facebook.com, League of Extraordinarily Average Golfers. And we are back, those Weekend Golf Guys. I'm John Ashton in the studio. He is Jeff Smith out there on the veranda of a very nice condo minimum at the Eagle Springs Golf Club in Walker, Colorado.
It's early October. It's time for me to get back to Indiana, right? So this is about the last time we'll be doing a show from Colorado this year.
Okay.
Right? Because, look, it's time to get back home.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I can imagine, man.
Much as I love it out here, you know, here it's first October. The weather's changing a little bit. The trees are still beautiful. But, you know, I got a little bit of business still here left. But then I got to, you know, let's get back home to Indiana a little bit.
Yeah. There's a song about that, isn't there?
There is a little bit of that.
Gomer Pyle sings it, I think. But anyhow. Yeah. All right. All summer long, we have been working hard. We have been practicing because you have honed so much information and beaten it into our heads that we need to practice the short game, because that is the part of the game that will save us the most strokes.
Yeah.
So we know all about the firm wristed scrape and the hinge and thump shot and all those that we have been talking about and practicing all season, but now it's getting cold. And I would assume that those shots would have to make, you'd have to make some major adjustments with those types of shots also.
Yeah. The first thing you should be doing, John, is in this firm handed scrape or this hinge and thump, you better make a couple practice swings, kind of feel what that ground is. Right. Because here it is in the softer season, and you kind of get an idea how that club is going to interact with the turf. Now, all of a sudden, it's going to be a little bit bouncier, a little bit skippier, isn't it?
I would imagine,
right? Because it's firmer, right?
Yeah.
So the ground's not going to give way so much. So we may have to think about taking a little bounce angle off this club so we can still get it below the ball, even if it's a firm-handed scrape or if it's a hinge and thump kind of a shot, right? So let's take a little bit of bounce off. Let's make sure that we don't have too much of it, because now the ground's a little harder. Now all of a sudden we stand the chance of sculling the snot out of this thing because we had too much bounce.
So how do we do that?
We tilt the handle forward a little bit.
Okay. Right? Sounds easy enough.
Yes, you're de-lofting it just a bit. Mm-hmm. Right? And they're like, well, wait a minute, it's going to roll out more. Yep.
Yeah, that's the plan, Stan. Yeah.
Right. But what we're trying to do is to take away the potential for the sculled shot because the ground's firmer.
Right.
Anytime you're playing off a firm surface, you're going to want less bounce than more bounce, because the bounce angle, you know, that the leading edge is higher than the bottom of the club kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't want any part of that now. Because the ground's hard. So anytime you're playing off hard surface, you want to de-bounce the club, tilt the handle a bit more forward till the bottom of the sole plate rests flush on the ground.
Okay.
Because we can't afford to scull it.
Yeah.
Yes. It does mean that we're de-lofting it, folks, and it does mean all that. But what we're doing is we're taking away the potential for the dangerous, nasty shot.
Yeah.
Leaving ourselves with, we just chipped one a little shorter and let it roll out because we got less loft in our hands now. All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. We just have to know what we're doing and why.
At what point do you suggest people maybe putt instead of chip? If they're
when
off
there's
the surface?
Nothing really, yeah, when there's, it's kind of a smooth-ish thing from off the surface to on. If it's bumpy.
Okay.
I just don't like it if it's bumpy, right?
Okay.
If it's smooth-ish, I like it.
So basically grass what you're dry. Saying is if there's nothing to get in the way of a ball rolling,
right,
roll it. But if you need to go over the stuff, then right. chip.
Or if, you know, if it's in the rough, I just don't. I'll chip it, right? But if right. it's in the fringe and there's closely mown areas through the green, you know, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. then there's a chance I could putt that.
Right.
But I look at it and go, okay, how long is this putt? And do I have to have – the hard one is always, well, it's just a few feet off. I've got 4 feet of fringe to putt it through. But then I only want it to go 2 feet after that. Now I'm saying there's no way I'd putt that.
Okay.
Because I got to hit it hard enough to get through 4 feet of fringe, so to speak, which means I got to hit it a little harder. And as soon as it gets through that 4 feet of fringe, it's now got to roll really slow.
Yeah.
So I think it's better to put the ball in the air just a little bit and let it bounce up there a couple times. Because
yeah, because the contacting the ground will slow it up.
Yeah, I think it's an easier shot at that point.
Okay.
Right. Just depends on how far you've got to go through that rough.
Yeah.
If I don't have to go very far, it's an easier shot.
Yeah, going through rough and then like the scenario you just said where there's only a few feet of green after the rough you go through. That's so hard to judge.
Right. It's better to chip that, get the ball in the air, get it up and down, you know, let it get it up in the air just a little tiny bit, let it bounce on the ground, you know, and try to get some of that and then just let it trickle out. And
yeah.
I think that's a smarter play. Could be wrong, but I think that's a smarter play.
Yeah, it probably is. And that is one thing I would think too, that you might, a caveat you might make to players during the fall is be smarter, because there's more ways to lose your ball. First off, because I mean, if the leaf cover is such that, you know, you've got places where it would be normally easy to hit your ball, but there's too many leaves, you could lose the ball by hitting it, you know, to the edge of the fairway or whatever, you know,
very, very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
a couple things. You know, I work with a lot of tournament players. So as we're talking about playing smarter, you know, we're looking at it going, okay, where can I play golf from and where can I not play golf from?
Mm-hmm.
Right? How do I find my ball? You know, how do I make sure that you see what's going on up there? You pay attention to the ground. You pay attention to how hard the ground is. If I hit this driver right here and I bust it right through here and it's bone dry, where's it going to go?
Yeah.
Think about that, folks. What's going to happen? Just because you can hit a driver a long way, there's a lot of times where you don't want it to go a long way because it ain't stopping anymore. And now all of a sudden you've hit it through the fairway, through the light rough, through whatever. And, you know, you're looking for it going, man, I never hit a ball this far. But the trouble is you hit it offline.
Yeah. And even if you don't hit it offline, you still, you know, you've perfected or at least you've become used to specific distances. Because you hit your drives usually within, you know, 10 or 15 yards the same each time. And, you know how far your balls go according to the club you hit. And those are going to change during the fall too, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, fall golf gets a little bit confusing. So just be smart.
Yeah.
You know, don't.
We all like smarter golf.
Yeah, don't get yourself into a position where you have no idea what to do next, because
that's right. Yeah,
it gets you very frustrated. But hey, just again, all forward thinking golf club operators, battery operated leaf blowers on every cart, please.
Hey, you charge premium for them.
Yeah,
we'll pay it. You know, darn well they all want to bring out their weed whackers and their leaf blowers to improve their line of play.
Yes.
But darn well that's what they want.
It'll save you and the grounds crew all that time for having to get rid of the leaves.
There's a couple extra bucks in it for you.
Make
keeps
more
people, keeps, look, it keeps people coming to your golf course.
Yeah, because if you've got the leaf blowers and three other golf courses in your vicinity don't, who are people going to come to first?
You.
Yeah. Darn straight. Look, you know, they'll even turn it back in and offer them a, you know, offer them a half price beverage of their choice, you know, in the 19th hole. And next thing you know, they'll stay for another one because you got them to come back into the clubhouse at the end of the round of golf, as opposed to slamming the trunk and driving off.
Yeah.
Because they got to go turn in their leaf blower and get their driver's license back. That's when you hand them the coupon for the half off on the Sudso. What a good idea!
There you go. And more ideas like this on how to make more money at your golf course are available at JeffSmithGolfInstruction.com.
as well as
great lessons on how to play in the summertime, in the fall, in the winter, in the spring, year round. Whether you're in the north, in the south, in the cornfields of Indiana, down in the swamps of Florida, or wherever. Jeff's been there. He knows exactly what to do wherever you do it. So check him out, JeffSmithGolfInstruction.com. You can always go to ThoseWeekendGolfGuys.com. Listen to any of the back catalog. We've got about 379 shows in the can. Need you to listen to them all. We've got some great stuff back there, people. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you following us. Subscribe, why don't you? Leave us a nice glowing recommendation to everybody else. And then come back and just be better the next time you go out this fall and play some golf.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.